Hebrews chapter 11, and our text for today will be verses 1 through 7. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 7. If you're able to stand, would you stand as I read the Word of God in your hearing? And then we'll bow to seek God's blessing on our time together. Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 7. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that which is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Verse 4. By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gift. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. Verse 6. And without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. And finally, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Amen. Amen. Father, we need help now. And so as we bow together, we implore and seek your face, that you would grant us favor to see and understand what you're saying to us here in the Word of God. And then, Lord, would you grant grace for us to order our lives according to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So our subject for today then is faith that pleases God. Faith that pleases God. Now for the last 3 weeks or so, we've been looking at these three believers, right? Four believers. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel, and saw how these believers were faithful, even in a hostile environment, right? In an environment that was just the opposite, an antithesis of what they believed and what they and the way they lived. They didn't compromise, though. They didn't give way just because they had to live and work in a hostile environment. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were very young, and the Bible calls them youths, and so they were teenagers. Even as teenagers, they made up their mind that they were not going to compromise. Their love for God was far greater than their love for anything that the world could offer. And so they serve as an example to those of us who remember how awful our teenage years were. And for me, I wasn't even a Christian. And to see these young brothers, see these young brothers stand for God against not just adults, but a whole powerful country. They wouldn't let the government, with all of its supposed power and strength, they wouldn't even let that threaten them to compromise their faith. This is amazing, my brother and sister. It really is. To see what God can do when people were just trusting. And they trusted God to the end. Now today we're going to consider others. As a matter of fact, for the next few weeks, we'll look at a number of examples in Hebrews 11. And we're going to learn how biblical faith sustained them. And by their example, see how it ought to sustain us. Because remember, the Bible says there's nothing new. What? under the sun. So they didn't have cars and air conditioning and, you know, and those kind of things, and iPads and phones, cell phones and all that kind of stuff. But they had the same kind of trouble, you see, that we do, okay? They had pressure just like we do. And God sustained them, and God wants us to know that he can take care of us too, right? The past few weeks we've been looking at these examples from the Old Testament, right? For the next few weeks we're going to look at these examples from a New Testament perspective. The difference, when you look at the Old Testament, it shows you all of the flaws. It shows you that people in the Old Testament were just like you and me, right? They had fears, they lied, they had bad tempers, all of the, quote, heroes of the faith, men and women, had the human weakness, right? But you come to the New Testament, and it shows you how God viewed them. That's what you need to keep in mind. We look at ourselves every day, and we see all of our weaknesses and our problems, and that's good. That ought to humble us and keep us dependent upon God. But God isn't, if our going to heaven depended upon our perfection, obviously we wouldn't go. Right? So thank God he looks at us through the prism of Jesus. Right? Amen. The lens of Jesus, if you like that word. That. So we're going to see these Old Testament saints who had all of their problems through the New Testament lens. Mm-hmm. And see God's view. Right? Amen. And that ought to help you and I. You agree with that?
Amen.
All right. So, let's begin by looking at the first. The way I divided my thoughts up is this way. I said that the first three verses, I see that as biblical faith described. And then the last three verses, verses 4 through 7, as biblical faith exemplified. We get some actual examples, all right? So, let's dive in and take a look at the description of biblical faith. So begin with, in verse 1, I see that verse 1 tells us biblical faith involves the future and the invisible. Right? The future and things that are invisible. You see how it reads? Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the future, and the conviction of things not seen, invisible. And so when it comes to biblical faith, it involves things hoped for and things not seen. That's the reason the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight, right? It's things that are beyond sight. That's the reason it's faith. It requires trust, okay? And so the unbeliever is just the opposite. The unbeliever walks by sight and not by biblical faith. All right? Now, the unbeliever has faith, but not in our God. You see the difference? Everybody has faith, James says, but there's a certain kind of faith that saves you and that keeps you. Remember he said? That kind of faith, the devil believes, but he doesn't trust God. And so he says, and he trembles. He knows God exists, but he doesn't trust it. And so, or to deliver him. Therefore, he doesn't obey. So, biblical faith involves things hoped for and things not seen. Now, there are two important words, and I need to get a little technical, and so you don't have to get nervous, but you need to know about these couple of technical terms, all right? The first one, both of these terms are in verse 1. The first one is pronounced hypostasis. And it's the word that's I don't know which translation you have. If you got an ESV, it's translated assurance. If you got the NAS, I can't remember, King James, they may call it substance, right? When I learned this back in the King James, it was that faith is what? Substance. You remember that? And so both words are a proper translation of apostasies. Here's the reason that they're both valid. Objectively, hypostasis is assurance. Mm-hmm. God can give you the assurance of something that you're hoping for, right? You have the assurance that it's true, When God says something, I know that it's true. Assurance. That's the objective side of it. Okay? But there's also, this word also has a subjective meaning, which means substance. In other words, what God has told me, it's real. Mm-hmm. It's not just a fantasy. When Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, that's not just a fantasy. It's what? It's real. Amen. See? So it's substance. The thing I'm hoping for heaven, that's real. But I also am, I'm assured. I'm assured, you see? So that's the whole idea. I've got assurance and it's real. So this is what biblical faith is. Okay? Now the other word is, in the ESV is translated conviction. In the King James and others, it may be called evidence or something like that. Right? And so it's the word, it's pronounced elenko. It can be interpreted both ways. You see, both of these words can be interpreted objectively or subjectively. Okay? And this is the marvel about God. He wants you to feel. You see, this is not just dry religion. No, 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 no. This is for real. And so, even though I've never seen heaven, I'm convinced and I'm convicted that it's real. Right? But it's also evidence means that there's proof.
Amen.
Amen. Right?
Yes, sir.
I got proof. You know, for example, you know, there's this song, and I don't quite understand this song, but I probably just have not thought about it enough. You heard that song, Were You There? But the thing is, I didn't have to be there physically to see it for it to be what? Real. So that's biblical faith. As a matter of fact, the Bible would say, I have more, I'm better off than those who were there and physically saw, because I have the Spirit of God now in me. I've got completed revelation. Right? And so, biblical faith involves assurance, and substance, conviction, and evidence, and proof. Now, I wrote a statement. This is a statement that I wrote to try to summarize what I believe verse 1 is saying. Let's see, did I get it? Okay. Biblical faith accepts what is promised by God as real, even though it is in the future and invisible. That's the point. You got it? And so, an unbeliever cannot understand that. That's the reason they were fanatics. You see, that's the reason, from their perspective, people think science is a lot more credible than biblical faith. When the problem is that much of what they're pushing forward is science, is not, it requires faith anyway. Evolution, did you know, is a religion.
Oh, yeah.
It requires more faith to believe evolution than it does the creation account. Mm-hmm. Okay, because they really don't have any proof. Y'all do know that, right?
Amen.
That much of what we were told when we were coming up in school cannot be validated. Mm-hmm. You got these theories that they can't bridge. Okay, I don't need to go down that road right now. So, biblical faith accepts what is promised by God as real, even though it is in the future and invisible. Verse 2. You looking at verse 2?
Yes, sir.
For by it the people of old received their commendation. So biblical faith also involves obedient people. The saints that we read about in the Old Testament prove that it's possible to live by this kind of faith. Okay? And so you and I aren't just starting on a journey that has no evidence. We got people, and we don't have to go to the Old Testament. You've got people that probably in your generation, and even some of our friends. I mean, there are very few Christians in my family, but you got some, and you know others. So we got people who live in our own time that serve as example to us that you can live by this faith.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
To the end.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen Christians die, and it's amazing. To see the difference between a believer guy and an unbeliever. A believer gets set free.
Yeah.
An unbeliever is grasping, is trying to hang on because this is it. That's all they got. Telling you. We got examples that you can live by this kind of faith. And so these saints of old received approval from God in Scripture. In other words, God tells you in Scripture that He approved. That's what we're reading, Hebrews 11. God says, I approved of all those people. I know what they did wrong, but I know their heart. I'm not looking at outward appearance. Thank God for that.
Amen.
Thank God for that. He's looking at the heart. So God approved all of these ones that we're going to look at. And then in verse 3, the last part of the description of biblical faith is that it embraces God as creator. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of the things that are visible. All believers. You can't be a believer if you don't believe that God is the creator. Amen. You can't be a Christian. You can't be a Christian and believe evolution. Listen to me. You cannot be a Christian and believe evolution. That violates, that destroys your whole faith. Your faith says in the beginning, what?
God.
Not in the beginning a blob or a mass. In the beginning, so before the beginning, there was who?
God.
And there was no beginning apart from God. There was no Big Bang. You know what I mean? Any kind of bang, God started it. You understand what I'm saying? So all believers wholeheartedly accept God as the creator, without any doubts. And here's the thing. We weren't there. We weren't there, but we accept creation as objective reality. Not simply subjective, because you know how people say, well, that's the way you feel about it. No. This is real.
Yeah.
Because you see that tree out there?
Right.
Well, man, let me tell you, you don't have to do that. You see your hand and your torso and your feet?
Yeah.
That's reality.
Amen.
And you started from God.
Amen.
And so you can't, and colleges are really going at this. So all your students, they're coming at it. They come, the professor make it their goal to destroy the Bible. Don't let somebody who has a better argument than you affect your faith.
Amen.
You understand? You have to say like Paul, I know whom I believe.
Yeah. All right.
I know. I may not know all that about science, but I know him. I know him. Yeah. And so we accept creation as objective reality because God establishes that it's truth in the scriptures, right? All scripture is breathed out by God. It's God breathed, all of it. And so when God says in the beginning he created, we believe it because it's true. God has established it as true. So that's the description of biblical faith that involves the future and the invisible. It involves obedient people and it embraces God as creator. And then let's, for the next few minutes, I want to take a look at some examples. And the text gives us three examples of people who live by biblical faith. So let's begin by looking at verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gift. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. Amen. And so the Bible right away commends Abel as a righteous man. You remember earlier when we were talking to the children about teachers commending you? There's no better commendation than that comes from God.
Amen.
When God commends you as righteous, you're righteous.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Thank God for that. God commended Abel as a righteous man. And here's the next thing you need to understand. Both Cain and Abel knew what God expected in sacrificial worship. Okay? And so what we're looking at here is what I call faith in sacrificial worship. And you may not have seen this perspective before, so I'm hoping to bring some clarity here for you. This act of Cain and Abel was actually an act of worship. All right? Can you find Genesis chapter 4, verses 3, 4, and 5? Genesis chapter 4, verses 3, 4, and 5. By the way, now we're picking up the account here. You know, Adam and Eve have known each other intimately, and then they had their first child, right, a son, and that was Cain. And then they had a second son, and his name was Abel. And so we pick up the account here in verse 3. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry and his face fell. So they both knew what God expected. Okay, you got that? But only Abel was willing to worship God the way he required without any compromise. Cain wasn't going to do that. Cain had his own ideas about how to worship God, and he did it his way. And now he's upset because God won't accept his worship. And this is serious. He's angry at God because I'm serious here, God. But God says, "You know what I told you to bring to me."
Yes, sir.
This is a very serious matter here. I hope you're picking up on it. I hope you're picking up on it. The Bible says Abel still speaks today as a witness for this kind of faith and worship. Now I want you to take very careful note of what I'm about to say. I even wrote it down here so you can see it. By faith, we must be willing to worship the Lord the way he prescribes in Scripture,
yes, sir,
regardless of what other people or other churches are doing.
Yes.
Amen.
This is serious business.
Yes.
There's a lot of activity going on in churches.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just because it's making people feel good does not mean that it's pleasing God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Listen to me, Christian. It's very serious. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Faith says that I'll worship God the way he says, mm-hmm, not the way I want.
Amen.
Not the way other people are doing it. Because you forget some of these old songs. Just cause it feel good. How can something feel so? How can it be wrong? Whatever the song was, you know. How can it be wrong when it feels so good?
Yeah.
And I mean, hey, you bring that philosophy into the church. That don't work with God. You see, that don't work with God. You know, you come away with a "Woo! Didn't we have a time today?" Well, that's not the question.
Amen. Come on.
Was it the kind of time that God told you to have?
Uh-huh.
See?
Yeah.
This is serious. There's stuff going on in the church nowadays.
Yeah, yeah.
It ain't no way you can go to the Bible and say that's biblical.
All right.
And it's catching on. It's popular. You see?
Yes, it is.
You understand what I'm saying? No, yeah, you might not have thought about it. We learned that from Abel.
Amen.
But here's something else. I don't think I wrote this down, but I'm gonna listen to me. Listen to me. We must obey, even if it results in rejection,
yep,
hatred, and even retaliation, as you see with Abel. And I promise you, if you obey God this way, you will experience rejection, hatred, and even retaliation. Mm-hmm. Just like Cain did with Abel. Because you think you're better. You think you all that. You think, you see. So you got to be willing to stand, regardless of what people say about you. Alright? Mm. Now, I told you before, you can't live on my conviction. Mm. You got to make this your conviction.
Yeah.
So when people are talking to you about why your church don't do this and that, you need to be able to give an answer.
That's right.
Yeah.
Can't say because the pastor don't allow this and that. No, I don't lie. Who am I? I'm just a servant. Just like you.
Amen.
But if God does not permit it, now you got something to stand on. You see?
Amen.
Understand?
Yeah.
Big difference. All right. I kind of assume that most of you probably hadn't thought about that, so that's the reason I spent a little time there. All right. Mm-hmm. We learned that from Abel. Mm-hmm. He's still speaking today. People are not listening.
Mm-hmm.
He's speaking today. Most churches are not listening.
Yeah, sure.
Most churches are like Cain. Mm. They want to do it their way. All right. The next example of biblical faith is found in verses 5 and 6. You got that? By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Amen. Enoch walked with God. That's what the Bible says. He walked with God in a perverted time. Sound familiar? Nothing new under the sun.
All right.
And so you just need to understand when you're reading some of these examples of people, don't think that times are just so unique for you and me. You do realize that this, what we're about to read, is right before God destroyed the world.
Amen. Amen.
Things were bad when Enoch lived. Right? It had gotten so awful that God knew he had to kill virtually everybody to clean it up. It's going to happen again. The world is not getting better, my brother and my sister. Don't you believe that doctrine and theology that tells you the world's going to get better and better and better and then Jesus coming back? That's not in the Bible. Right?
Amen.
The Bible says in the latter days, things don't get better. They what?
Get
worse. Right. And if you can't see it, it's because you're not looking. Right? You got Genesis 5, verses 21 through 24. When Enoch had lived 65 years, now by the way, this is confusing to some people. Y'all do know, at this time, before sin had started its real degradation to human bodies, people lived a lot longer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So don't get overly concerned because we're about to read about people that lived, you know, to be several hundred years old. That was normal before sin started deteriorating the human body to the level that we see today. Right?
Amen.
So, verse 21, when Enoch had lived for 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Verse 22, Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah for 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Amen. So what do we learn? We learn that Enoch was a man of faith. He lived by faith. He raised his family by faith. He went to his job by faith, right? He participated in things in the community by faith. In other words, he obeyed God. Not what was going on around him. And he did it all of his life. He lived 365 years. That's a long time to obey God.
Amen. Amen.
Right? That's a whole lot of opportunity to mess up. You know, you and I may get 80 or 90 or so. Maybe. And we can sure enough mess that up. Imagine if you had, you know, three times or four times that. You understand? This man, this is amazing. So let's take a look at some of the traits of Enoch's life, and then see what we might learn from him. Back to Hebrews 11 in verse 6, you see that one of the first things that we find out about Enoch is that he believed that God exists. You can't be a believer if you don't believe that God exists. That's what I'm telling you. That's when you can't be an evolutionist and what do they call atheist or agnostic and all these terms, which I question anyway. If the devil believes God exists, I can't see how an agnostic or an atheist does that. I mean, you know, I believe they're just deceived. You just got to be deceiving everything that your conscience is telling you. Because even the devil who's blinded you believes God exists. You're just denying reality. Okay? But anyway, Enoch believed God exists. You saw that in verse 6. He also believed that God rewards those who seek him. This is amazing. This is amazing. We're not just serving an indifferent God. We're serving a God who motivates us, right? We're serving a God who gives reason for what we do. When we talk about heaven, that's not just an idea. God has given, he's promised that to us. God rewards, and it's amazing that not only do we get Jesus in heaven, but there are other benefits that come. It's amazing. From having loved Christ and serving. So he believed that God rewards those who seek him. He had close fellowship with God. You see that in verse 6 likewise. Those who draw near. That's that phrase. To draw near means to walk with God. To walk close with him. So he believed that he had a close communion and fellowship with God. In verse 5 you can see that he was commended by God. And what do, I don't know if I said this early on. Y'all do understand when I say that these people were commended. He does that in Scripture. God commends them in Scripture as being saints or being holy or being righteous. That's a commendation. That's a commendation. Regardless of what people in their time said about them, God says they were righteous. You remember Job's friends? Uh-huh. They weren't calling them righteous.
That's right.
These were his partners. These were quote, friends.
Yeah.
But God was. God said he's righteous. I got something else to tell y'all. You even look at Lot. I know how troubling it is to look at Lot with Abraham. What does the Bible say about Lot?
Righteous.
Calls him righteous.
Yeah.
Lot.
Yeah.
Be careful how you judge people.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Christian?
Amen.
Right. Thank God that his judgments are not like ours.
Amen.
And then finally we see that with Enoch, he was taken to heaven without natural death. And the Bible never says why. And you and I don't have to know why. But God just chose to not allow Enoch to die naturally like everybody else. You know, he might have been giving us a picture of the rapture or something. You know, I mean, God can do what he wants to do. all that we know is that he took him. He says, Enoch, you've done what I want you to do. I'm not going to let you go to the grave. Come on to heaven. This is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
This is phenomenal. And the Bible records it for you and I to know. For you and I to know. So then, I guess when it comes to this, what we learned from Enoch, I wrote it this way. By faith, we must be willing to please God and obey him in our personal lives, regardless of the level of depravity in which we live. You know, you can't justify what you do just because your neighbors are doing it. Or because the people where you work. This is what we do at our job. You can't justify it because this is what we do at our school or whatever. Can't do it. I'm going to tell you something even more radical. You can't justify because this is what we do in our church.
Amen.
If it's not godly or biblical, don't do it, regardless of who's doing it.
Amen.
Let your light shine before men and people in such a way that what? They'll see your good works. Glorify your Father. You got to stand. And then finally, we see what I call faith in times of pending judgment. I imagine everybody in the room is familiar with the story of Noah. But let's look at what, from a New Testament perspective, let's look at what God has to say about Noah. By faith, Noah being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness that comes by faith. Let's dive in. Number one, the first thing we see about Noah is that he was also called a righteous man who had close communion and fellowship with God. You don't have to turn if you don't want, but Genesis 6, verse 9, listen to it. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God, and Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. A righteous man. He walked with God. He had close communion, just like these other saints that we just read about. We also know that Noah believed God's warning about the flood. And I don't know how many of y'all are familiar with your Bible, but y'all do know that at this time in biblical history, it had never rained.
Amen.
Did you know that?
Amen.
So you think of this. God says, Noah, I'm about to send a flood. You can imagine that.
Flood?
Yeah.
You know, I don't even know what that means.
Yeah. Right.
You know, I mean, you and I, it's hard to fathom because we're accustomed to rain. But now this is a time when they definitely see raindrops. So not to mention a whole lot of them. So that's what it means. Noah believed God even though he'd never seen rain. Not only that, but God said, Noah, I want you to build a ship bigger than anything you've ever seen. He'd never seen this kind of ship before. Why? There was never a reason for any ship like
that.
He might have seen little boats, but this is staggering. So don't run past this when the Bible says Noah did this by faith.
God said it.
Noah says, all right. Guess I better get stepping. You need to think now.
Yes.
I've never experienced this before, but if God has warned me, I better get moving.
Yeah.
I better take note of what God is saying. So he never seen rain or this kind of a boat, but he responded in obedience. And here's something that you need to make note of. He was willing to endure the ridicule, and he did. Can you imagine what all of the folks around saw? What they look at this crazy, fanatic, religious man. Here he is out here cutting down trees, and now y'all, you need to think about that. I mean, this is phenomenal. And he can go down to Lowe's,
Home Depot. You see, if you got to build a boat, you got to go and cut down. You got to do it what?
One tree.
Think about all the food. Think about the kind of ridicule and mocking. Think about the kind of rejection that he had to do. Think about neighbors. You know how bad it is in your neighborhood? You know, you bring a trailer or something. You can't bring a trailer, but you bring a boat or something that they consider to be unsightly. I mean, you get all kind of ridicule.
Yes.
Well, think of Noah is about to build a ship that's probably 1.5 football fields long.
Now, yeah, because the thing is, yeah, where in the world, yeah, even if you could get that out to the sea or somewhere, it ain't, how are you going to do it anyway?
Yeah, right.
There ain't no boat trailer going to handle this. So he says, all foolishness to anybody looking on. It's all foolishness. And you think that's bad? It took him 100+ years. Imagine that, day after day, one tree at a time, you know, one, you know, if they use nails or whatever, then you think of it. A lot of it he had to do himself, mm-hmm. until, you know, his sons were old enough to work and to help out. I hope you're getting the picture here. This man lived by faith. So he was willing to endure all of that rejection from people, the hard work, the getting the materials, the lack of help, and he kept on building by God's design and details for 100 years. And the fact is, God's word was all that Noah needed. He didn't need to go have a conference, ask other people what they thought about it. If this is what God said, this is what I got to do. Are you listening to me, Christian? As a matter of fact, him going to get other people's advice would have probably been a discouragement, not an encouragement. When God has spoken to you, you don't need to go talk to other folks.
All right. Amen.
You don't need their opinion. I'll tell you something else. I'm not trying to be mean, but listen to me. You don't need their opinion, neither do you need their approval.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
The ark. Y'all know the ark was designed to deliver Noah and his household, right? Mm-hmm. You know there's got to be a picture of Jesus Christ,
come on,
right?
Come on, brother.
You can't be thinking biblically and not see that this is a picture for us to see that this is what was going to happen a few centuries later when the real ark of safety was coming.
Amen. All right.
And you know, here's the reason this is so important. Just as with that ark made out of wood, people in the ark were righteous and safe.
Uh-huh.
People outside of that ark were condemned to death.
Uh-huh.
The same way with Jesus Christ. If you're in Jesus, you're righteous and you're safe. Everyone outside of Jesus is set for destruction. Christian, I hope you all are listening to me. Regardless of what people have to say about you, once you're in Jesus, let them talk.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? They think they're all right. They think you're the fool. They thought, no, you are the chief of fools.
Well.
You planning for something that they don't even know what a rain cloud is. You planning for a rainy day and it ain't nothing but sunshine. You see, people think we're planning for heaven and the new heaven and the new earth. They're like, look around us. This is a great place to live. But they don't know just over the horizon is destruction. So Christian, don't be discouraged and dissuaded because we live by faith. You do know that rain caught them all by surprise. There's a day coming. The Lord says that you need to work while it's day. Because what? Night's coming. It's coming. By faith, we must be willing to obey the word of God in redemptive ministry through long periods of opposition and hard work. Jesus says, He wants us to be faithful and remember, I'm with you always. Right? Even to the end of the world or the age. And I just want to say something personally here as we begin to wrap up. Don't grow weary, Trinity. Can't grow weary just because things aren't moving as fast as you want it. Think about it. Think about Noah. Think about how long it took to finish that work. You see, it looked like it was moving, I'm sure, so slow. If you've ever built anything, you understand what I'm talking about. It's only near the end when it begins to shape up and, you know, right, begins to take on that the dynamic that you... Yeah, but other people, they can't even visualize what you're doing because they don't have the vision. You got to remember, God has given you the vision, so you got to keep moving toward it. Others can't see it. They don't understand what in the world you're doing. Work, regardless of how long it takes. Work, regardless of how hard it is. Wait on the Lord, regardless of how long you got to wait. He's faithful. You believe that? He's faithful. A good coach instructs his team and practices with them so that the team knows exactly what the coach expects of them, right? And the coach is pleased when the team executes what he's taught. Now listen to me. The coach is pleased when the team does what he taught them regardless of the outcome of the game. The coach wants you to do what he tells you to do. Leave the results to him. All right? If you do what the coach taught you, he's pleased. Now, my brother, my sister, if you're thinking spiritually, you understand what I'm saying. It's the same with us spiritually. God wants Christians to trust him. When he's taught us something, when he's told us something, he wants us to trust him enough to say, Lord, you know what you're doing.
Yes.
The game's not going so well, but I'm going to stay with the play, Lord. I'm going to stay with the play that you gave me because I trust your judgment better than my own. And believe me, God our Father is pleased when we trust him enough to do what he says. Not question him. Trust in the Lord, what? With all your heart. Don't forget the rest of it. Don't lean to it. Don't lean to your understanding when it starts looking strange. Don't do that. Don't do that. All of us are tempted, right? It's taking too long. It's too hard to go through this week after week after week. Don't lean to your own understanding. Trust. Trust and obey. That the song?
Yeah.
Trust and obey.
Yes, yes.
So then, my brothers and sisters, we've learned from Abel to worship the Lord the way he prescribes in Scripture, regardless of what other people are doing. We learned from Enoch to obey God in our personal lives, regardless of the level of depravity around us. We learn from Noah to obey the word of God in our redemptive ministry and work, regardless of the length of time, the difficulty of the work, or the opposition. Obey God.
Yes.
By faith, we've trusted Jesus Christ to save us from eternal punishment.
Yes.
Now, by faith, we must trust the Lord to take care of us, just as he did Abel, Enoch, and Noah.
Amen.
The same faith. So I got a couple of questions to ask you. Are you listening?
Yes.
This is personal. Are you worshiping today by faith or by popularity?
Mm-hmm.
Are you here doing what you see other people do? Can you leave here today knowing that you worshiped in a way that pleased God? Or will you leave here just saying, I did what everybody else did? This has to be personal. You have to know that you've worshiped in a way that pleased God. You got to know that, my brother, my sister. Can't wait for somebody else to tell you that. The Spirit of God has to confirm in you, you worshiped in what? Spirit? Not in spirit only. You can't just say, oh, I felt the Spirit of the God, of the Lord moving and all kind of foolishness going on. No, no, no. God says, I want you to worship me in spirit and truth. And you can't just worship me in truth only, some dry, dead, formal legalism. No, no, no. Worship me in spirit and truth. Can you leave today knowing that you've worshiped in a way that pleases God? Secondly, are you living your personal and family life by faith? Or are you compromising because you're under pressure? Enoch endured 365 years of pressure. And God said he was faithful to the end. You listen to me? You got to handle your personal and family life by faith. You can't let the fire and the pressure cause you to compromise. God has put in you the grace to handle the heat. You got to trust him. It gets hot in everybody's house. Even if you're single. There's times I get conflicted with me. Right? You ever do that?
Yeah.
What's going on with me? But you can't buckle under the pressure. Stay faithful in your personal family life. And then lastly, are you eagerly serving the Lord in ministry by faith? Or have you compromised because the work's too hard, too long, and you see no results? Noah taught us you cannot focus on the results. You cannot focus on the clock and the calendar. You've got to serve the Lord in your ministry by faith. Leave the results to him, however long it takes. I hope your answer is, I walk by faith, not by sight, and trust the Lord till I die. If you're not a Christian, then faith is where new life begins for you. Do you know that? In order to become a Christian, you must first believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he is the Savior coming to this world to pay the penalty for your sin. If you're not a Christian, this is what faith can do for you. It'll help you lay hold of the fact that Jesus came to save me.
Yes.
And listen to me. He'll save you.
Yes, he will.
He will save you.
Yes.
He'll take care of you. Just as you saw him take care of these saints here, Noah and Enoch and Abel, he'll take care of you. Our Father, thank you for the grace that saved us. The grace that keeps us. The grace that will take us home. Thank you for faith that brought us to Christ. Faith that keeps us. And the faith that will take us home. Forgive us, Lord, where we have not worshipped you by faith. Forgive us for grumbling and complaining when maybe we have wanted to do something other than what you prescribed for us to do. And help us, Lord, to resolve in our own hearts, like Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to worship you only your way and to do your will. Help us to remain faithful in our personal and private lives when no one sees what's going on. Help us to remain faithful. And then finally, grant us the great grace to work and serve you in ministry till we die. And Lord, for the one who recognizes today that they're not a Christian, would you stretch out your mighty arm.
Yes,
save someone today. Help someone to be and to get real with you and to find real safety in you. For Lord Jesus, you are the true ark of safety. And you'll take them home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.